Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
An ankle biter like some of these. My older sister, she was in high school, and she had to always babysit me, and she tortured me all the time. But she had this one story that she told me that I really always remember, just cracked up and laughed. That there was a guy in a foxhole, and the enemy was advancing on him, and he went, and his gun jammed on him, and he couldn't use it, so he threw it down, and he was panicked because all the enemy was charging in. And so in an act of desperation, he took his finger, and he went, bangity bang, bang. And much to his surprise, the enemy just fell down on the ground, and he kind of looked at that, and he saw about 8 or 10 people in a big group together, and he pretended that he had a bazooka, and he went boomity boom boom, and they all jumped around and laid down and quit chasing him. And he kept doing this, and all of a sudden he saw one person just walking slowly, just looking right at him, and he bangity bang, and no effect. And he kept just going, and he goes boomity boom boom, and the person walked right up and just walked right over top of him, and he could hear as he was stepping on him, tankity tank, tankity tank, tankity tank, tank tank. And so, point being, I just remember laughing when my sister would tell me that, and I thought about it this week because kind of Paul's letting us know here who we are and parts of our identity. Now, we talked about our identity as loving one another, as serving one another, as being Christ's example, but there's also one thing, and Paul concludes this letter. And every time that I leave on a trip, I give my family instructions. But usually as I hop in the car and I begin to, you know, put it in reverse, I usually will think of one or two important things that are critical, and I'll roll down the window and I'm like, hey, don't forget to take the trash out. Because you know, if you go away for a while, especially in the temperature like this, you're going to have some other life forms that are growing in the bottom of your garbage can. And so some important things, some critical things, you know, hey, don't forget to lock it, or don't forget to turn the light. Some important things that are critical. And one such thing is what we see here at the end of Ephesians. It has to do with our identity. He's talked about, hey, this is who you are in Christ. This is your position of being in Christ. This is your practice. And then he concludes it with this important point. Let's look here at Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. We'll go through verse 13. Finally, he used this word kind of like, hey, you know, this is, I want to get your attention. Finally, his conclusion, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. So, Paul's beginning this kind of wrap-up area at the end, and we can make a few inferences from what we read. First of all, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord in the strength of his might. Because that Paul is writing this, we can infer that there's a tendency in most of us from time to time to not be strong, or to be strong in our own might. Anybody guilty of that from time to time? You know, we'll turn to the Lord after we've done everything of ourselves, after we've exhausted everything else in all other ways, then we'll turn to the Lord. And Paul's saying, look, because of who you are in Christ and because of our practice in Christ, stand, and here's how you stand. Stand in the strength of the Lord and his might. Not standing against the devil's schemes is connected then to resisting being strong, or to resisting being strong in the Lord rather than our own strength. Paul is using this analogy of a Roman soldier. And so I have three quick points for you today, and they're important points. And point number one is this, and I kind of have them start off with no. No, you are a soldier. You are a... Now, the church changed hymn books a number of years ago to this blue hymn book. And you notice today we're using the red hymn book. And there's a reason. Because I wanted to sing the song that we sang to begin service, Onward Christian Soldiers. And it's not, it's absent, it's noticeably absent from a lot of modern hymn books. In fact, there is a predisposition against any type of worship or any type of this taking of this thought of a militant or of military. We're kind of removing it. And so I think it's a, beg your pardon, I think it's kind of a dangerous thought. I understand where they're going with it. I understand, what the philosophy is behind it, but I don't necessarily agree because the Bible is pretty clear about spiritual warfare and about our calling to war. And so that's why I want to approach it this way. You are a soldier. Why is it important to know that you're a soldier? Is because you are in a war. Whether you agree with it or not, you are in a war. Now certainly I'm not going to the problem is many of us are AWOL. We're absent without leave. We are not fighting. And the truth is, brothers and sisters, it's important to know that you are a soldier because the enemy is fighting. The enemy is warring against you. He is warring against your family. He is warring against our society. He is warring against our nation. He is active. And we ought not be ignorant of his devices. In fact, Paul tells us that we shouldn't be ignorant of the devices of Satan. And yet most of us are. How many of you growing up ever played the game Red Rover? How many of you know what I'm talking about? You see, nowadays you're not allowed to play that. It's amazing that any of us survived because I grew up without seatbelts. I grew up, eating kind of crazy things. And so nowadays, what we used to do when we played Red Rovers, we'd get two lines and we'd grab a hold of the hands and we'd say, Red Rover, send Glenn Cooley right over. And Glenn would go, he might not do that, but he'd take off and he'd run really fast and he'd look for a place where the hands, maybe he thought he could break through, and he'd jump and he'd try to break through the lines. And so the key was you tried to look for the weak link, right? Yeah, huh? I know you're not supposed to, but that's how we used to do it. If you did that, you'd win. And here's the problem. A lot of Christians, they're not even willing to hold their hand. And I'm talking about in spiritual warfare. And so the enemy is breaking through our lines. He's breaking into our families. I've seen families. I've worked with couples whose marriages come into bad place because they refuse to war spiritually for their families and for their marriages. I've had a front row seat to ministries and to ministers who have refused to war. They've forgotten the fact that they are a soldier and they are involved in a spiritual war. And when you do not war in the spirit, you are easy pickings for Satan. I want to tell you, there are times in my life I've had to just war in my mind. Because right now, this very instant, if I think about something long enough, I could make myself mad. Anybody else? Some of us could look around the room and make ourselves mad, right? And we ought not do that, right? We could very easily begin to cause ourselves to have anxiety. We could think about the election and have a panic attack, right? I mean, it's all kinds of crazy things going on, all right? Against this backdrop, the fact is, it's like Paul saying, okay, I've told you who you are in Christ. I've told you how you need to act. I've told you how we need to be loving and how we need to be Christ-like. I'm getting ready to back out. Oh, by the way, hey, don't forget this. You got a war. You got to be strong in the Lord and in His might. It's a sad thing to watch people around you. It's a sad thing to watch ministries. It's a sad thing to watch families. It's a sad thing to watch people refuse to war in the spirit. Now, I'm going to preface it, in the spirit. Now, as I debate people about things like the validity or not of, is Onward Christian Soldiers, and I've gotten in arguments with people about, you just don't think it's an appropriate hymn or not. Well, I'm like, well, you know what? It's an analogy. Okay? It's an analogy. We're not storing up guns in the basement of the church. Okay? Let's all just put that aside right now. He's using an analogy of spiritual warfare as Paul is using an analogy of a Roman soldier. And is it important for us to understand that? Because a lot of us are having our destinies robbed from us because we are not stepping up and applying the Word of God in our lives. And I'm going to say amen to that. I'm tired of the enemy robbing me of my joy. I'm tired of the enemy robbing me of my patience, of my perseverance, of my reason for being here. I'm tired of sitting back and allowing that to happen when God has called me to stand up and to war for my brothers and sisters. I'm tired of not grabbing a hold and being the easy weak link of which the enemy breaks forward. And brothers and sisters, know this: your actions affect everyone else. You can say it doesn't. When we used to play Red Rover, there's always the people who are like, "This is dumb. This is dumb." You know what? They'd always be like, "Yeah, that's where I'm going." Hey, we're the two people who are saying this is dumb. Bingo, whoa, and you break right through it. Guess it, and your team will lose. You know what? I talked to somebody after first service, and they said, "We played Red Rover. I broke my arm." There's always one, isn't there? so as we did it. So the debate, as I go back and forth about these things, the analogies is always this: is that really who Jesus is? Okay, because we don't see Jesus as, you know, walking up and punching somebody. In fact, Jesus is the one who turns their cheek. But if we look, Jesus is our example of spiritual warfare. In fact, he begins his ministry in spiritual warfare. If we read Jesus is baptized, and in Matthew chapter 4, we see him come out of the water. And then Scripture says, and immediately, everybody say immediately. Immediately he was led into the wilderness and he engaged in spiritual warfare. And this is what it looked like. Satan came and tried to twist Scripture. And Satan came and gave him opportunities to be selfish and opportunities to be about his own agenda. And opportunities to not follow the plan of God. And so Jesus warred against the devil. And so we are imitating and we are following Christ. We are following Christ's example when we embrace this concept of spiritual warfare. And the beautiful thing is that Jesus is our strength, because Jesus stood against Satan and Jesus won. Everybody say, Jesus won. He won. And he didn't just win the victory for himself. He won the victory for us. So as we're going in to play Red Rover, here's the great thing. It's not about just necessarily us. It is God being our strength. There's a video clip I was going to share, but I didn't get it edited the way that I needed it to. And there's this little baby bear, and it was being chased by a mountain lion, and it fell in the stream. Then it crawled out of the stream, and the mountain lion had it cornered. And the little bear sat there and stood up and was like, meh. And the mountain lion was breaking in. All of a sudden, the little bear tried to do it one more time, and all of a sudden you heard, rah! And the cougar's eyes got real big, and it backed up, and it took away, and the camera pans back, and behind that little bear is Mama. And Mama's like, "We ain't playing," you know. And I thought about that as I watched that clip. I was like, that is us. You see, it's not about how strong we are. It's about how strong He is. And He is our strength. That's why the psalmist says, The Lord is my strength. Why should we be afraid? You just say, whom shall I fear when God is on our side? You know, this is a beautiful thing. Psalm 121, I lift my head to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and of earth. And so just as Jesus is our example, know that you are a soldier and you are strong, and not in your strength, but in the strength of God. Let's go on to point two. So point one is that you are a soldier. So point two, so that's like, know that you're a soldier. Point two is know your enemy. Know your enemy. Now, your enemy is not your spouse. Some of you are like, glad. Your enemy is not your employer. Your enemy is not your landlord. Your enemy is not any of those people. Those are not your enemy. Your enemy, now this is going to be a real shock for a lot of us. Your enemy is not the person who has different political views than you. As much as that's what's being told nowadays, no, let's not allow that, guys. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 through 13. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Right now, if you're sitting next to somebody, take your hand out and just kind of give them a squeeze. on their shoulder or something. Are they flesh and blood? Don't tickle them. Are they flesh and blood? Yeah? They're not your enemy. Okay? They're not who you should be warring spiritually. Okay? We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Okay? So we need to understand who our enemy is. And the Bible is not silent on who the enemy is. It is Satan. And his entire realm of darkness of fallen angels. These are the demonic forces. Now, usually there's two types of Christians. There's Christians who never, ever talk about spiritual warfare or the devils or demons. And then there's the Christian who only talks about spiritual warfare and the devil and demons. And I'd like to say that maybe there's a middle ground, folks. Maybe, just maybe, there's a middle ground. Okay? Maybe we can just open up and see what Scripture has to tell us about this. Now, Paul didn't focus his entire book on this. In fact, he made a primary focus of who we are, our identity in Christ, how we are, our practice with one another. But then he does conclude, you're going to need to know this. Because guess what? People are going to get on your nerves and you're going to think it's them. There are going to be situations that happen. You need to keep your eye on what's really happening. If you remember in the book of Daniel, Daniel is seeking God for an answer. And as he prays, no answer comes. In fact, he prays for weeks. And finally, an angel of the Lord shows up, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase. He says, look, from the moment that you prayed, from the first moment that you set your heart to seek an answer, the answer was released to you. But he said that there was this prince of Persia, and this is a spiritual force. It is one of who we're talking about, a cosmic power of this present darkness, a spiritual force in a heavenly place. It is a demonic force over an area that resisted the answer of God, to which Daniel continued. He red rovered. He held on. He continued to pray for weeks, and the answer came through. That's what spiritual warfare is we commit ourselves to God, and we hang tight, guys. Because here's the truth. The devil wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to lie. Here's how he does. He lies to you. 1 Peter 5:8 says that our adversary, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He's looking just like Red Rover. He's wanting to see who's not really taking this seriously. Who's not really grabbed a hold of this. That's where we're going to go. You know what? It's important. It's important because if we don't fight, we let the enemy in and he can run roughshod. Strategy, military strategy, break through the enemy's line, divide them and conquer. And Satan uses that strategy against us. He uses it against the church. He uses it in our marriage. He uses it in our family. How does he do it? He lies to you. You know the big lie that he tells you? You don't have to fight. It's not important to pray. No, you don't really need all this. You don't need to hold your hand playing Red Rover. Oh, it's just a game anyway. He causes us to believe that we don't make a difference. And thus, he wants to separate us from God. But here, of all the truths that we need to know about our... John 8:44. Listen to this. This is what John says about Satan. When he lies, he speaks his native tongue. For he is a liar and the father of lies. We saw that in the Garden of Eden. Satan began to just twist the word of God. He gives half-truths. And he causes people to back off of their commitment from God and their fervency in following Christ. He perverts the truth. And why? Because he's desiring to take God's place. You know what Satan wants to do? He wants to remove God from the throne of your life and take that place. So we need to know that we're soldiers. We need to know our enemy. Know who your enemy is. The final thing is, and this is what I appreciate about God, he's our strength, but he also has given us some weapons. And so we need, the third point is, know your weapons. What are our weapons? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. I mean, think about this. To destroy a stronghold. This is what He has given us. Some spiritual weapons to break up these strongholds. And He goes on to say, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And I like how that verse 5, how what Paul says, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. As I mentioned a few moments ago, I can think, right this very minute, I can think myself into anxiety. I can think myself into worry. I can think myself into despair. I can think myself into depression. I can look at my checkbook and I can be, oh, or I can say, thank you, God, for what you've given me. Help me to steward it correctly. You know? And that's the case of what, you know, people try to make spirit. Here's the deal. Hollywood does not give us good theology. Okay? Thank you. No. Hang on. I have lost track of people in the past 3 months that I've had conversations with in the community who believe that spiritual warfare is something out of the movie The Exorcist, or even that, you know, things like, oh, how do we understand who Noah is? And someone was like, well, you know, Noah's a pretty violent guy. Where'd you get that? Well, I saw this movie about Noah that was out in Russell Crowe. He like stabbed people and threw them off. The Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He stood against a wicked age. He didn't take up a hatchet and hack them up. Come on. Pardon my soapbox here, but you know what Hollywood is after? Not your soul. They're after your pocketbook. All they want is to take something that you have so that they can have it. They don't care about that. And now, Scripture is not silent. And I tell you what, God has given us so much, and so we can know our enemy. But get your information from the right source. One of the big things that they used to do when I talked to people about code breakers in World War II was there were messages, but there were even false messages. They would send false intel. And the reason they would send false intel was to trick people to do something so that they could pick them off. And a lot of us have done the same thing because we take our theology through books that we read, not Scripture, through fiction. We take our theology through Hollywood, and somehow then we build our life around that. Here's the deal. You don't need to fear. You don't need to fear. God has won the victory through Jesus Christ. And Satan is a defeated foe. So know you're a soldier, know your enemy, and know your weapons. You can destroy arguments and lofty opinions that's raised against the knowledge of God. That is His truth. And take every thought captive to obey Christ. So with this backdrop, Paul goes on, chapter 6, verses 13 through 18. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, and in all circumstances take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Now, brothers and sisters, to be honest, I could spend weeks and weeks and weeks going through each one. In fact, maybe in 2017, that'd be a good series for us, is to break through each one of these pieces of the armor. Now, we're not going to do that. We're just going to kind of fly through real quickly. The first one is the belt of truth. Let me just say this. There are two truths. There's my truth and there's God's truth. Which one do you think is true? Because you know what my truth is? My truth a lot of time is based in my perspective. And my perspective, quite frankly, is only in part. I know in part, and God knows the whole. So I can say things like, I'm worthless because I feel worthless because all the evidence around me says I may not have worth. Might say that I can never trust anybody again. May say that I'm always going to be betrayed. I'm never going to be happy. I'm never going to find my purpose. That might be my truth, but that's not the belt. The truth that they're talking about is not honesty. That is important. Don't say that I'm saying that honesty is not important. That's not what he's talking about. The truth is truth. And truth is God's truth, that we know that there is a God and we know that He has a plan for us. And it is based in that. And it is the thing that holds us. Yesterday, I had a bunch of things that we did yesterday. We had funerals and we had funeral dinners and we had preparations for some other things. And I was out in the community later that evening and I was with a gentleman and we were talking and it was hot and he got to turning and his pants were real loose and his belt broke and it started to go down. And he quickly, everything, I want to tell you, nothing in the entire world mattered at that moment. He was grabbing his drawers. And I was like, it's okay, you know, we got you. And then, and the rest of the time, he's just kind of walking like this. He wasn't doing much anything at that part now, was he? You know? And so I was, I thought about that because I thought, you know, if we don't have God's truth, if we're not centered upon that, and that is the debate of the ages right now. I tell you, it is the debate in academia right now. God or just chance? I choose to debate everything. I choose to believe God. I choose to believe God. I put it in His truth. Second one is righteousness. This breastplate of righteousness. And let me just say this. You know, righteousness, to be righteous, protects us. But maybe I just add that it's not about you just trying to act rightly, because that righteousness doesn't cover it. The breastplate of righteousness is our understanding that He is our righteousness, and we have submitted and accepted that, and we walk continually, progressively in the righteousness that God offers us. Shoes of the readiness of the gospel. 2 weeks ago, we had a phone call, and a subcontractor was going to meet us on the roof to try to fix a repair. And I had just been shopping, and I bought a new white shirt, and I wore it to the office because I had some counseling sessions, and I got the phone call, "Hey, can you meet me on the roof?" "Sure." So up I go on the roof, and he's like, "Hey, I need you to stick your head right in here so we can see that I'm wearing a brand new shirt." And so I'm not prepared. I'm like, "Yeah, can I see? How can I take my phone and just like take a picture of it and look at it?" I wasn't prepared. You know, I went out to Colorado one time. My sister was like, "We'll go for a hike," and so I didn't have the appropriate shoes for my thing. I thought we were going to walk around a path, and she's like, "We're going to climb a mountain," and so it wasn't appropriate. I couldn't deal with it. Now, many of us today, quite frankly, we're going barefoot through life spiritually. If someone was to come to you right now and say, "I'm having a crisis. Can you help lead me? I need to accept Christ." Do you know how to lead somebody to Christ? Are you prepared? Do you have word in you that you're ready to share with somebody? At the time that some of us should be teachers, do we need to be taught again? Are you prepared? I mean, we could do the old sermon analogy. Doo-doo-doo. If the trumpet sounded right now, where do you stand? And I'm not going to kind of go old school on you there. Suffice to say this. Are we ready for service? Are you ready right now that if you're at the grocery store and somebody's having a bad day, are you prepared to pray with them? Are you prepared to share encouragement? Are you prepared to share love? Are you prepared with the Word of God? I think that we ought to be. I think if we understood that, we would embrace it. The shield of faith. Faith is important. I mean, faith is what protects us. It extinguishes the fiery darts that Satan throws against us. These shields used to be soaked in oil, so they would put out these darts. And just like that, our shields of faith are soaked in the blood of Jesus Christ, and it extinguishes. No matter what the enemy says about you and throws at you, what God says is more important. But let me say this about the shields at that time. They were designed where they could latch together and they could form an impenetrable wall. And so as I bring my faith and you bring your faith and we bring our faith together, we can stand. And I go back to our Red Rover analogy. The helmet of salvation, if you look at your picture up there, there's usually some form of an eye slot, some form of an ability that went down in these Roman helmets. I like to think of the helmet of salvation. The helmet protects the head. It protects the things that we see, the things that we perceive, also the things that we speak. And if we would add the salvation quality into what we allow into our minds, transformed. And finally, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, that's our one offensive weapon. That's where we war. And Jesus was our example again, where He used Scripture appropriately. And Paul ties Scripture and prayer together. Praying at all times. Praying at all times. Praying at all times. In the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. Brothers and sisters, we're called to spiritual warfare. I want you to know you're a soldier and we're in a war. I want you to know who your enemy is because he's coming against us. And I want us to know our weapons.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults and a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.